Okay, good morning, everybody. The daf this morning, Moikat and Daf Hey, and we're sponsored, the breakfast is sponsored this morning by Bagel Munch, Le'ilui Nishmas Vega Bas Chaim and Shimon Ben Zaev. Right, so on the last words of Dalet Amid Beis, quoting the Mishnah, Mesaknim Es Kilkulei HaMayim Shebrishus HaRabi. That's still working on that opening Mishnah. It says about which things you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Normally, the default is you're not allowed to do any malachas on Chol HaMoed, and then there are a whole list of exceptions. So we're going to be working on the main sugya of the Tzorach HaRabi. We saw a little bit of that at the last couple of lines of the previous Amud, so we get into that a little bit more here. All right, so that's what it says. The Mishnah says, Mesakim Kilkulei HaMayim Shebrishus HaRabi. That really refers to some kind of a water reservoir, a cistern, or bore, maybe even a well, and that it had some kind of trouble, and you're allowed to fix it. You're allowed to repair the well or repair the cistern or the reservoir. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says you can repair it, and you do chatita. Chatita is like dredging it, like you could kind of you could pull out the silt and the debris and the stuff that doesn't belong there in the reservoir. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Chotetin, O son. So now the Gemara is trying to be medayik from, well, why does it give that instruction? It says, Chatita in, but Chafira lo. The implication of the Mishnah is that all you're allowed to do is you're allowed to clean out the cistern, you're allowed to clean out the well. You're not allowed to dig a new well or dig a new cistern. Or you wouldn't be allowed, let's say, to enlarge it either, that type of thing. That's the implication of this Mishnah. Why wouldn't you be allowed to? Possibly because of the additional tircha involved. Possibly because that requires umnus, as opposed to just cleaning out the well or cleaning out the cistern. That's a maisa hedyot. So that could be what's going on, the chilek between whether you're allowed to do maisa hedyot versus even a maisa uman. Oh, you didn't learn about those chilukim yet, I think. That didn't come up. That's going to become relevant later on, whether you're allowed to do some kind of work that requires special professional or special training. That type of a thing is called a maisa uman, as opposed to a maisa hedyot, which is just work. Anybody could do it. So that's the way it's described. When we get farther along on the daf, we'll see. Okay, Amar Rav Yaakov. That's what the Gemara says. Gemara is medayik from the Mishnah. You have permission on Chol HaMoed to dredge the reservoir, but not to dig, enlarge, or create a reservoir. Rabbi Yaakov, the Amora, quotes Rabbi Yochanan, the Amora, lo shanu ela she'ein rabim tzrichim lahem. Well, Rabbi Yochanan says this restriction that you're not allowed to dig a bor on Chol HaMoed, that only applies if it's not for the tzorach harabim. But about rabim tzrichim lahem, afilu chafira muter. But if it's tzorach harabim, the Tzorach HaRabim has no restrictions, and you'd be allowed to do even a chafira mechadash, even though it's a big job, and even though it requires special expertise. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Now the Gemara asks, V'chi Rabim Tzrichim Lehem Bishari, but we're going to have to align that statement of Rabbi Yochanan the Amora with different statements made by Tanoim in various braises. So that's what we're going to be doing for a little while now. So he's just asking on Rabbi Yochanan, is it really true that when it's a tzorach harabim, you have permission to even do chafira? But it says in a braisa, chotetin boros shichen umearos shel yachid, vein tzorach lomar shel rabim. The braisa says a contrast between chatita and chafira, just like what we saw the Gemara itself, the Stam Gemara made that chiluk. So this braisa is very explicit about the distinction between chotetin, which is just cleaning it out, versus chofrin, which is digging. And here's how it says in the braisa. You can be chotet the bor shichre ma'aras of a yachid, which is not a tzarech harabim, on chol hamoed, the ain tzarech lomer shel rabim, and certainly you'd be allowed to do the same thing for a public bor. the ain chofrin, but you're not allowed to dig mechadash abor shichad avar shiach umara shel rabim, even if it's a public need. The ain sarach lomar shel yachid, and certainly not a private one. In other words, this brisa is saying there's no distinction between public or private, and the only permission that you have a chol hamoed to clean out a reservoir is just to clean it, as opposed to dig it. So it's an attack against Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says here, well, my love, in order to complete the attack, to complete the challenge, to complete the kasha against Rabbi Yochanan, we have to just clarify one last point. My love is Sherabim Tzrichim Lahem. The fact that something belongs to the public is not identical to the that it's necessary for the public. So it says over here that isn't it clear from the Braisa that the Braisa, by referring to private or public, it means any condition of a public bore, even if it's a public bore that they require. The difference between what's required and not required if it's a public bore presumably has to do with the fact that it's required on the moed. Is it something that the people would be depending upon on the moed? Is there a need for the moed? So when it says here that if you look back at it again, if it's rabim tzrichim lahem, that's what Rabbi Yochanan's distinction was. If the rabim tzrichim lahem, you'd even be allowed to dig it from scratch. And now we have a braisa that says a public bore, you're not allowed to dig. And presumably no distinction was made between whether it was a public bore that they need now or they don't need now. So that's what the Gemara asks in order to round out the question. The Gemara says, then in that case, yeah, he would definitely be against that braisa. But Rabbi Yochanan would answer that, lo, b'she'ein rabim tzrichim lahem. The Gemara says, no, it's a case where, and this braisa is only forbidding digging mechadash abor that they don't require, even if it'll be for the public use. De kavasa gabi yachid she'ein yachid tzarech lahem. So then the Gemara says that something is wrong with that answer, because then we lose. If you're going to understand the braisa as being when it's not necessary for right now on the moed, if that's the context of the braisa, then it should also be the context of the braisa for the mishnah that's for the part of the braisa that says the yachid is yachid and rabbim are the same. Therefore, the yachid also would be where the yachid has no particular need for this bor over the moed, over the yantif. So now the Gemara says, well, wait a minute. So then you shouldn't be permitting that even to clean out the bor. The Gemara says, well, then you don't have any tzarech at all. That's not a tzarech ha-moed. It's not a tzarech ha-rabim. It's nothing. So why are you allowing even chatita? That's what the Gemara says. It says, wait a minute. You can't say that the context of that braisa is when it's not necessary for the moed. The kavasa gabi yachid, she'ein yachid tzarech lahem. So then chatita mishari. So then would you say that chatita is really allowed? V'hatanya boros yichinam aras shel yachid. But the braisa says, a different braisa, says that if you have a reservoir of a yachid, konsin mayim lesochan, you're allowed to fill it on chol hamoed of a lochotetin, but you're not allowed to clear it out, to dredge it. Below shafin esid kehen, and you're also not allowed to repair the, let's say, the walls of the cistern of the well. V'shel rabim, but if it's a public one, you are allowed. Chotetin osan. V'shafin esid kehen. So this braisa, we're trying to assume that all the braisas, unless you know otherwise, are all in agreement. So this braisa says that a private bore, you can't do chatita, but a public bore you can. Now the previous braisa made no distinction between a private and a public bore. And so anyway, we have to figure out how to reconcile all of this. And so the Gemara says, V'alamai. So the Gemara says, okay, so anyway, you're going to have a problem. V'alamai. So then what do you want to interpret? V'shayachid sarach lahan? What are you going to interpret? That the yachid does need this over the moed? And when he does need this, you still are going to... El yachid tzarech lahem, the elamai b'sheyachid tzarech lahem, that the Braisa, which says the Yachid and the Rabim are the same, and you're allowed to do Chatita v'na Chafira, you're going to say that that's referring to a case where the Yachid needs it over the Moed, and the Rabim needs it over the Moed, and we're still going to be told that Chatita is Mutter, and that's what's going on in this latest Braisa here, that Chatita is Mutter when it's Yachid Tzarech Lahem. So then the problem is like this. Then the Kavasa Gabi Rabim, then what are you going to say? Then the case we're permitting Chatita for the Rabim is when the Rabim needs it now over the Moed? Bishop Rabim Tzrichim Lahem? So then the question is, then why are you taking a hard line on a Chafira? Why are you disallowing a Chafira if they need it now? After all, V'hatanya, we have a new Braisa. Boros Yichinim Aras Shel Yachid, Konsin Mayim Lesochan, V'chotetin Osan, V'lo Shafan Esidkem, V'lo Chotetin Lesochan, V'lo Sadin Osan Besid. There's a new Braisa, which says, a private bore, you're allowed to fill it with water, and you're allowed to do Chatita, but you're not allowed to repair it with, plaster it, and you're not allowed... What does it say? V'atayne baras yichnim aras shel yachid konsin mayim lesochan v'chotetin osan avalo shafin esid kein v'lo chotetin lesochan v'lo sadin osan besid. I don't know what that chotetin lesochan line means.
It's like an internal cleaning?
I mean, it's different from the previous line, chotetin osan?
Maybe it's more the maintenance.
Okay. So in other words, it's more like whatever shafin would be.
Yeah.
Shafin is a repair. Chotetin would be something like that. Sadin osan besid, same type of a repair. As opposed to what you're allowed to do is konsin mayim lesochan, and you're allowed to just dig out the silt. But shel rabim chofrin osan. But if it's a public need, then chofrin osan, v'sadin osan besid. You're allowed to do anything. You can dig it even from scratch. So what are you seeing? If you want to reconcile all of these braises, how do you make sense out of all of it? Elokasha hach kamaisa. So anyway, this braisa seems to be against that other braisa. So teretz hachi. So here's how you have to reconcile everything. You have to explain everything as follows. Chotetin boros shel yachid b'sheyachid tzarech lahem. You're allowed to clean out the bor of a private person, but if he has a need on the moed. He has a need, so then you're allowed to do the chatita sabor of a yachid. The ain tzarech lomer shel rabim. Of course, that would be permissible for the rabim. Kesher rabim tzarich ilahem. And if the rabim does have a need, if there's a public need, if it's a tzorech harabim, that means tzorech harabim for the moed, then afilu chafira mutar. But the ain chofrin, there are no restrictions, in other words. Whenever there's a public need on the moed, no restrictions at all. The ain chofrin boros yichinim aras shel rabim, but if it's not a need, b'she'ein rabim tzrichim lahem, then a public bor, a public water reservoir, you're not allowed to be chofer because that's not justifiable. That's considered a ma'ase uman, and therefore it's not a tzorech ha-moed, but it is a tzorech ha-rabim. So you would be allowed to do certain things, but not chafira. Ve'ein tzorech lomar shel yachid. But a private one, you wouldn't be allowed to dig. After all, because it's not a need for the yontif, then the private bor, which is not necessary for yontif, you can't do anything. You can't even do chatita at all. You can only just fill it with water, the way it said in that other braisa above. So all of these distinctions, it comes out that. And this is the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes it this way as well. If I have a tzorech ha-moed of a public need, there are no restrictions at all. I can dig a bor from scratch. I can do any kind of public need on chol ha-moed. Even l'chavin melachta l'moed. You're going to discover that sometimes you have permission to do melachas on chol ha-moed as long as you didn't plan to do that melacha over the chol ha-moed, take advantage of people being off from work. But l'sarach harabim, that's a legitimate plan. You're allowed to plan for the community since a lot of people will be around and public needs require a lot of hands. And so that's allowed. You're allowed to be mechavein meleches harabim lemoed. You're allowed to do, even for purposes of tzorach ha-moed, for the moed needs, you'd even be allowed to do even ma'isa umans. But if it's a private need, you don't have permission to do ma'isa umans. You're allowed to do ma'isa hedyots. You're allowed to just clean it, as opposed to dig a new one or repair it. And if it's not a tzorach ha-moed, then a private need, then you can't do anything. You can't, you wouldn't be allowed to do any kind of repair or maintenance on the boor. That's the way it says Shulchan Aruch. That's how it, and if you read all of the braises back again on this Amud, then you'd be able to make them all fit into that scheme. Amar Ravashi Masnisanami Deka. Ravashi the Amora says, you know, you could get some of that anyway from our Mishnah. Dekatani Osin called Tzarchei Rabin. Because our Mishnah says you have permission to do all of the needs of the rabbim. Tzarchei rabbim kol yesu yemai. Doesn't that inclusive summary statement include this type of thing? To be allowed to dig a bore. Lav yesu yechafira. Which is like the maximal thing. It's a lot of work and it's a ma'isa uman. And so you see that Mishnah would be permitting that kind of a thing on Chol HaMoed. Gemara says, no, you can't tell from the Mishnah that that's what this Mishnah would permit. No, maybe all the Mishnah meant about public needs were the following types of needs. Like it says in a Braisa, it says in this Braisa that on Chol HaMoed, you go out and you try to clear away the paths from the kotzim, from the dangerous things, the thorns or the broken glass or the whatever other, the nails, whatever other kinds of hazards there are on the roadways, you should use the Chol HaMoed to clear the roadways. The sakenes arechovos, and clear the public square and the other public places. The SS Tartios, also a public place. And also to go around and make sure that the mikvaos are properly kosher. Lamud is to measure them, make sure they have the right volume of water. There's enough water in the mikvaos. The call mikvah, and it says, it goes on to say, if you do discover a mikvah that's not, that doesn't have enough water, call mikvah she'enbo arboim sa'ah. Any mikvah that doesn't have the 40 sa'ah necessary for the mikvah to be kosher, margilin l'sof arboim sa'ah, you have to fix it. How do you fix a mikvah? If a mikvah doesn't have enough water, how are you going to fix it? You can't just pour dump buckets of water into it to fill it up. It has to be rainwater, or it has to be spring water, or something like that. So that's why it says over here, it says, margilin l'socho arboim sa. You have to figure out some way to draw water through natural channels from a natural water source in order to have that fill the mikveh properly. But you can't just dump water into a mikveh. It's always a big deal when you have a mikveh. You could have a mikveh, you build the whole thing, you're ready to go. You can't open for business until there's enough rain that can fill it. Because unless you have a mikveh that's being fed by springs. I think it's possible the Pesach mikveh might be a spring mikveh, right? It's not a, anybody know?
It's Pesach
mikveh? What?
It's a pump.
It's after the mikveh already has water, but it's not...
It's an underground.
It's underground, right? It's underground fed from... Yeah, but it's fed from spring
from
water, or it's fed from rainwater?
I think there's some sort of a pump, if I remember correctly.
Okay, but is it pumping rainwater, or is it pumping spring water?
Groundwater.
Yeah, so it's not... So it doesn't depend on rain.
It's okay.
Okay.
And then they also have facilities, I think I saw, for rainwater.
For catching rain also?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Alrighty. In any case, that's what it says over here, that you have to make arrangements to fill the mikvos. In any case, this is when it says here in the Mishnah when it says here in the Braisa that these things are what you do on Chol HaMoed, does it mean you can do these things or you must do these things? So it says that you obviously can do these things. But if you look at what it continues to say here, it says, "Uminayin sheim lo yatsu v'yasu kol elu." And how do you know that if they neglected this responsibility, and if they didn't go and take care of all of these things, shekol damim shenishbechusha mali aliyam akosav kilu heim shafchum, And how do you know that that if they didn't take care of these things, that any damage, any injury that happens as a result of the hazardous road conditions are their fault? Whoever they are, the people responsible, I guess, who are supposed to make these arrangements, it'll be their fault. How do you see that? Talmud Lomar v'haya alacha damim. Pasuk says that if you have a roof, you have to build a fence around the roof. And if you don't, and if somebody falls, it'll be your responsibility. Which means, in general, that whenever you are aware of hazards, and you are in position to fix them, and you're responsible for fixing them, and you neglect that responsibility, then even the people who are injured, it's your fault. It's very relevant for the vaccine issue, incidentally, recently. Okay, in any case, it says, wait a second. The Gemara says that can't be, this brisa cannot be what was referred to in the summary statement of the Mishnah by saying, call Tzarfei HaRabim, because the Mishnah lists these individually already. It's explicit in the Mishnah. Really, it's such an obvious question that it's almost difficult to understand why we thought temporarily even that that would be the intent of this summary statement. In any case, the Gemara says, so called Tzarchi Rabin Lesser Yemai, so then what's intended to be included by the broad statement of called Tzarchi Rabin? Lovely, Yosei Chafira, Shema Mina. Okay, so that's clear. So that becomes the rule. This is the main sugya that Tzarchi Rabin, any of the needs that are for the public, if they're general public needs, you're allowed to do them as long as they don't require special expertise. If they do require special expertise, that's only permissible for things that are necessary on the moed itself. Okay, mitzayin nesakvaras. So one of the things that you do on Chol HaMoed is you mark the graves. We'll talk more about this. It's coming up. That's going to be a big issue for the next Amud. You mark the graves. Amar Reb Shem ben Pazi, remez letziyun kvaras min hatorah minayin. Where do you see a remez that it's necessary to mark graves? Now, in any case, it's being presented here as a remez. Usually a remez means it's not really a source, it's not really a drasha d'oraisa. So it may only be a remez to din, but nevertheless, it's required me to rabbanan at least. So where do you see a remez for such a thing? Talmud Lomar, v'ra etzem adam ubana etzlot siyun. Pasuk in Yecheskel, referring to the bones. I don't know. Is this the dry bones, the revived bones? I'm not sure. But incidentally, and it's an allusion to the fact that in the future
we have to do it now too. Now also.
Yeah. That it's that there's sometime in the future there's going to be a time when Bnei Yisrael, Am Yisrael, which are currently essentially spiritually dead, will experience a revival. So this kind of this pasuk refers to, you'll see a bone, you'll mark it, and then you'll see that it'll also get up and walk away. So in any case, Amar Le Ravina Le Ravat, so that's a remez to the fact that whenever you see an etzem adam, you have to mark it. Bana etzel tziyun. Amar Le Ravina Le Ravashi. Ravina says to Ravashi, what are you talking about? You mean you found a pasuk in Yechezkel, and that's the best source you can for this practice? Obviously, the need to mark graves was, it's like a universal need. It was a need that they always had. So what were they doing prior to Yecheskel? Nobody felt any urgency to identify graves? Hamakami delesi Yecheskel, and before Yecheskel was going to come along, man amar, did anybody say that it's a kind of a thing? Of course it was necessary. The Gemara says, well, why are you asking me such a question? You mean you can never find psukim that refer to new institutions throughout time in the Nach? Well, taimach, how the Amar Rav Chisda, davar zeh mitor smosh Rabbeinu. What about the following tradition that we have from Rav Chisda? Davar zeh, this is a kind of a parenthetical thing. Davar zeh doesn't tell us what the davar is, but the davar is the fact that a kohen is not allowed to be oved in the Beis HaMikdash. Look, in the Chumash it says, a Baal Mum can't be Ovid in Beis HaMikdash if he has physical defects. Or if he's Tamei, can't work in the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't really say anything else. But we know these that there are other additional halachos, such as an Arel is possibly Avoda, And Meshumin, Abikoris is not allowed to, Amumar is not allowed to do Avoda. So those psulim are not found in the psukim, but they are found here in the Pasuk Yecheskel. So Rav Chisda says, Davar zeh mitoras Moshe Rabbeinu lo lamadnu. Rav Chisda says, we don't have traditions from the Chumash itself, but midivri Yecheskel ben Buzi, but from psukim in Yecheskel, we know the following. Pasuk says, Kol ben necher, aral levi, aral basar, lo yavo al mikdashi. That there are psukim that describe, that was referring to a situation where Yecheskel was given a nevuah about the future, about the avod and the Beis HaMikdash, was told that people had until that time been mechala liavoda with all kinds of problems, the way they would be oved Hashem, and as giving examples, they would have people who were arelim giving doing avoda, people who are mumrim doing avoda, and so he gives this instruction to make sure you're careful about that in the future. So, Mekami de Lacey Yecheskel, Man Omar. So you mean he was the one who originated this? Obviously not. These were always true as psulim, just that they had always, you don't have any pasuk that says that those things are psulim, psul categories. So Ella Hani Gemara Gemiri La. So the fact that you don't have a pasuk saying so, that doesn't stop you. We always assume that it was Tarsha Baal Peh until you find the expression in the pasuk Genavi. Ella Gemara Gemiri La VeYasi Yecheskel VeAsmachakra. So Achanami Gemara Gemiri La. That was true about the Avodas HaKarbanas of the Ara Lev and Ara Basar. So Achanami Gemara Gemiri La about Tzion Kavaras VeYasi Yecheskel VeAsmachakra. Okay, so we have at least the pasuk in Yecheskel, the importance of and the mandate to be Mitzayin in a kever. Rabbi Avoh Amar Meyacha. Rabbi Avoh says, well, I can find some psukim actually in the Chumash itself for Tzion HaKever. Namely what? The Tamei Tamei Yikra. That's talking about a Mitzor. The Mitzor has to leave the Machane, and he has to go out of the Machane, and Tamei Tamei Yikra, and he has to announce that he's Tamei with Tzaras. So the wording is Tamei Tamei Yikra. You could read those words as the Davar Tamei has to proclaim that it's Tamei. In other words, that the Davar Tamei has to inform people that it's Tamei, which means you have to mark a grave, would be an expression of this. Tuma Kora Lavi Omeres Lo Prosh. The Tuma has to announce to everybody, stay away. So that's his remes. That's Rebbe Avoh's remes. The Chenama Rebbe Uziel Bar Berei the Rebbe Uziel Rabbah. That's also what Reb Uziel, grandson of Big Reb Uziel, said, that what Tuma Korolo Veyomeris Lo Prosh. The Tuma is calling out to the person saying, get away. Mar says, hold on a second, parenthetical objection here. The Hailo, Achi Yudi Asa, wait a minute, but that's what this pasuk is getting at? Tami Tami Yikra? Look, the Pshuta Shemikra is that the person who is a Mitzora has to notify people that he has Tzaras. Tamei Tamei Yikra. He has to announce people Tamei. But we're saying over here, based on a kind of a drasha, that all Tamei objects have to become clear. That you have to let people know that this thing is a source of Tuma. That's the Tzion Kvars. So it says over here, wait a second. But there's even a different thing that we get from these words, Tamei Tamei Yikra. V'haylo, Achi Yudi Asa. Is that what you're getting from this expression, Tamei Tamei Yikra? Hahumi Voile, look at Asanya. But we know that this pasuk is being used in a braisa as follows. The Tamei Tamei Yikra tells me what instruction? That the Mitzora Tzarech Lehodia Tzaro LeRabim VeRabim Mevakshim Olav Rachamim. The Mitzora has to announce to people that he's Tamei as an Eitza Tova for the Mitzora. That he should evoke pity from the people. We should tell people, I'm Tamei, I have Tzaras here, I'm in trouble. And the people will be moved to pity and will pray for them, and that's what you want to happen. You want the people to pray for the Mitzora. Which I will just interrupt the flow here to point out that this is an interesting thing. That as much as we're conditioned to think that Tzaras is the fault of the Mitzora, and therefore he's gotten it on his own, and he's deserved what he's getting, and therefore we would not necessarily be moved to pity and to pray for the Mitzora to get out of his Tzaras, but that's a corrupt attitude. To think that way is really bad. And that really, if you see somebody suffering, you don't have permission to calculate that the person deserved the suffering and it's not your problem. And that what's saying over here is that even the Metzora's suffering is something that the people are expected to be moved to pray for, and that that's part of their responsibility, is to pray for people who are suffering. That's what it says over here in this Gemara. And then it says here, it doesn't fill it off, it doesn't fill out, but in other places, this Gemara appears in several other places. Other places it says that, and this is a general rule for anybody who's suffering for anything, it's smart to tell people your troubles. Because then they'll have rachmanis and they'll give you a bracha that's to pray for you that you should have your troubles should go away. So it says over here in K, wait a second. So this is, we're overusing the words tami tami yikra. The Gemara says, no, we're not. In K, and if all you wanted to do was to make the message of announce that you're tame so people will pray for you, in K, left of vitame yikra. Why do you have to have tame tame? My vitame tame shmat mina tarti. So you can get two lessons from it. One is that you have to mark sources of tuma. And the other one is that it's proper for people suffering to share their troubles with others so that other people should have rachmanis and pray. Okay, that's the second source. Abaye yamar mehacha. Abaye has another source. Lifnei iver lo sitein mishol. Obvious. You can't leave a stumbling block in front of a blind person because they're going to trip. So you have a responsibility not only not to put the mikshol there, but also to clear away the mikshol. And Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa has a different source, not in Chumash anymore. Now we're back to Nevi'im. V'yamar, solu, solu, panu derech. Okay, so the pasuk is referring to a future time when I'm going to call back my people to Eretz Yisrael, and it's apt for Yom Yerushalayim. And the words are panu derech, clear the way, clear the road, clear the path. Harimu, and then the pasuk goes on to say, harimu mikshol. So Rav Chinina says, I see it stronger in the second half of the pasuk. Harimu mikshol mi derech ami, clear away all the obstacles from the path of my people. So it's obviously not really saying, you know, you have to dispatch people out to clear the roads. But at least there's an allusion to that. Rabbi Shua Berei the Ravidi Amar, Rabbi Shua Berei the Ravidi says, I have a different source. V'hodatun lahemes haderech yelchuba. Now we've really gone far away. The pasuk is, this is Yisro's advice to Moshe Rabbeinu, that you have to have some intermediate leaders who can teach the people the mitzvos and the Torahs and the halachos. But the wording used is that so that you'll be able to teach the people derech asher yelchuba, derech yelchuba, the way they'll go. Implication being, so you have to make it easy for people to go on the way. And Mar Zutra Amar v'hizartim es b'nei sol mitumasam. Mar Zutra, the Amora has this other source. V'hizartim es b'nei sol mitumasam. That pasuk, the word hizartim doesn't mean he's a hair to make them careful. It's more like the word nazir, which means to separate from. Yizartim es b'nei yisrael mitumasam. You have to make sure the people stay removed from tuma. So that means it's a responsibility, again, on the community to proactively prevent these tuma episodes. And that means tziyun kavaras. And these are all different places where you have a remes to tziyun kavaras. Ravashi amar shmartim es mishmarti. Ravashi says, the pasuk at the end of Achrimos, Shmartem is mishmarti, you have to guard my Torah. Asu mishmeres mishmarti, implication being, you have to take precautions and put safeguards around my Torah, and therefore, if there's a source of tuma and you can anticipate trouble, if somebody, let's say, has truma of a kachim or something, it'll get ruined, and so you have to protect it. Asu mishmeres mishmarti. This could be referring to specifically the fact that in other contexts, the word mishmeres, like is refers to mishmeres trumosai, that's what Rashi says over here. But in general, it's also taken as an overall exhortation to the community leaders to solve all kinds of problems that they foresee in the community. Okay, but in any case, Ravina Amar, Ravina has a different source. V'sam derech arenu b'yesha elokim. Pass again to Hillim. Sam derech arenu b'yesha elokim. It just, how does that imply, well, he tells you why a little bit, well, in the next line. It's like sam derech is a simen of the derech, a simen of the derech. So you should also, same kind of a thing, make sure the way is clear. Once we quote this pasuk, sam derech, So Amar Bishua ben Levi, says, and I got it, he says, Kol Hasham Archosav, anybody who's careful and calculating and deliberate about his ways, Zoche v'roa b'Yeshua Soshal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be Zoche to see Yeshua Hashem. Shenemar v'sam derech, al tikri v'sam, ela v'sham, sham as in shuma, as in evaluate and measure, and so the implication being, if you're smart about how you function, how you live your life, smart in what way, and you'll see that a couple of examples will illustrate what he's getting at. Right, Rabbi Yanai Havalehu Talmida. Rabbi Yanai was a Rosh Yeshiva. He had a certain Talmid. The call Yom Ahava Makshile. That he would always pester him and bug him and ask kashas against him, and he was that kind of a student. But b'shabsa derigla, but when it was the Shabbos of the Regel, and it was a much larger crowd, all kinds of people who really only showed up there for these special occasions, lo hava machshile, he kept his mouth shut. So kari yalei v'sam derech harena b'yesh elokim. And that's Rabbi Yanai said, you know, this guy, he's very good. He's very proper about how he conducts himself. He's not just driven by a certain ideal, he takes into account that the circumstances don't warrant that type of thing right now. And so when you take that everything into account and you're smart about your situation, that's called the Sham Derech. So your behavior. Your behavior is reasonable. So that's a praiseworthy thing here. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. So now we're going to talk all about the rules of Tziyun Kavaros. Tziyun Kavaros, you have to mark the grave. How do you mark the grave, incidentally? I think other places it says, well, we would imagine. How would we mark graves? You put a little stake in the ground, but that doesn't tell you where the limits of the grave are. So you're supposed to actually paint the ground to mark off that this area, this part of ground, is all off limits. There's tumah over here. So if it matters to you, then it matters. If it doesn't matter to you, then you don't care. You're not going to be stopped by the paint on the ground. So Tana Rabbanan, Ein mitzayin in lo al kizayis min ameis, velo al etzem kisaora, velo al davar she'ein mitame be'ohel. So that's the key. The key to all of this is that you only have to mark graves because there may be nothing visible on the surface that will tell you there's tumah here, but Tumas Ohel will be the type of Tumah that will make you Tameh simply by going over the Davar Tameh. And not all kinds of Tumah have Tumas Ohel. Only certain things, like an intact human, possibly Jewish, possibly not Jewish body, will have Tumas Ohel. And so so that's why regular human graves are Metameh Be'ohel. But only for full bodies, we're going to see some of this. But a etzem, but a bone or a kezayis of basar min hames. If you just have human flesh, or if you have a bone from a body, from a corpse, so then that, even though there's tuma there, but it's not tumas ohel. Velo al davar she'ein mitame be'ohel. So you're not going to make, so you don't have to mark off things like that. Aval mitzayinin al hashedera al hashedra, but if it's the spine, a human, a whole human spine, a the whole vertebrate set, or v'yal hagulgolas or al rov binyan or al rov minyan hames, or if you have, let's say, those are the four things that are mitame, the bones that are, the gulgolas is the skull, and the shedra is the spine, and rov binyan and rov minyan, which means if you have enough of the bones that would, if you would assemble them, you would actually get most of the height of the body, which would be like the leg bones, may even be enough all by itself, and that would be created to masohel, or rov minyan. Or if, let's say, your body is made up of however many, 200 bones or something, so then if you have like 100 littler bones all collected, like the hands and the feet and whatever, so then even if that would only be small in terms of overall size of the body, then they would make a tumas ohel if they're all together in one spot. So if you just have bones, that's not enough to warrant a tziyun ha-makom. But if you have avol mitzayin el ha-shedra ve'al gugos ve'al rav binyan ve'al rav minyan. The ein mitzayin el ha-vados. And another thing is that if it's a well-known, if it's marked as a grave, or if everybody knows it's a grave, or if there's, so then you don't have to put a tziyun there. Because you know that it's tumah there. But the main key here is mitzayin el ha-sfekos. But if you have an area where there's a suffix tuma in this territory, you have to mark off the limits of the territory. The alien is sveikos. And the suffix areas are sechachos, piraos, and besap pras. So what are they? We're going to see in a second. The ein ma'amidin tziyun b'makom tuma. But you can't put the marking right on top of the tuma because that's not going to accomplish anything because people will only notice it when they're right on top of it. So you have to put the marking slightly outside of the actual place of the tuma, but you can't put it too far away either. The ein marchikin tziyun b'makom tuma. So why you can't put ein ma'am yidin tziyun b'makom tuma shelo lahafsid es hataharis, because people are going to not notice it until it's too late, and they're going to ruin their tuma v'kadshim if they happen to have ein marchikin tziyun b'makom tuma. You can't have it too far out. Shelo lahafsid eretz Yisrael, because you don't want to prevent people from free access to places where they legitimately can go. So you have to do. Rashi says. So what's the shear? You would have figured that the Gemara would have a shear. Rashi just says, "Kol shehu." It's just a little, yoser mikol shehu. So just a little bit outside of the actual perimeter of the makom hatuma. So it says here, hold on a second, something's wrong with everything that we just said. Kizayis menameis, ena mitami bi'ohel. We just asserted that a kizayis of basa from a meis does not convey tuma bi'ohel. Ohel means if it's, ohel means that you're not in direct contact with it, but you're either over it, or you're under it, or you're both under a common cover. So that's the one that we're familiar with. We're familiar with ohel where it's a common cover, that there's tuma here, and I'm walking under the covering over here, and that would convey tuma through the space, and conveyed by the ohel, by the gag. So it says here that if you have a basar, a kezayis basar, that's not going to make tuma, so you don't mark that up. But that's not true. It's against the Mishnah, we know. It says a kezayis ben ames enem etam b'yohel. That's not true. V'ha tanan elo shem etam b'yohel kezayis ben ames. So it is. A kezayis ben ames will convey tuma sohel. So why did we get the impression that that's not? Why did we say it's not? Amara Papa. Papa says, Acha b'kezayis ben tzumtza maskinan. Well, hold on a minute. We're talking about flesh. Kezayis flesh, not bone. A kezayis of flesh. Well, the marker that you're going to put is going to endure for a long time. The flesh is going to be there only for a very short while, and then afterwards it's going to disintegrate, and it's not going to be there. It's not going to even tell me anything. So, acha b'kezayis min tzumtzum skin. We're not talking about a lot of basar. We're talking about a little basar. It wouldn't take too long. Sof, pretty quickly, mechsar. It's gonna disintegrate down. And even though temporarily, it's possible that somebody may, before that disintegration happens, may actually run into trouble and go over that area unwittingly with taharis. But you know what? Given the options, so it's mutav, yisrafu alav truma v'kachim l'fisha, so I'd rather have a temporary risk, v'al yisrafu alav li'olam, and I'd rather not put a permanent marker in a place where it's not going to permanently convey actual tuma, because then you're going to get people who are going to think that it's tame, and it's a source of tuma when it's not actually. Over time, it's just not going to be a source of tuma. So you don't want to leave markers of tuma in places where the tuma is not there, because that'll cause the same problem in the reverse. I'll think that I have to ruin the tuma v'kachim, and it's not true. Okay. Now, what are these sfeikos we said? Well, there's three things. What's a suffek tuma? So it says here, a makom where there's suffek tuma as follows. Elohein ha-sfeikos. Sechachos u'pros. Wait a second. Elohein ha-sfeikos. Sechachos u'pros. Sfafas of Paros.
Branchy canopies or protrusions.
Yeah, Sfafas of Paros. So Sfafas is like Schach. That means like overhang. So let's say you have a tree. And if you have Tuma under one part of the tree, the branches of the tree form a whole intact canopy. So then the Tuma gets conveyed all around the tree. And if you have two trees whose branches are almost overlapping, so then it'll be that tree's branches also. And so theoretically, you can have a whole territory where there's Tuma being conveyed because of the coverage of the tree canopies. So that, but remember, this is only talking about Suffolk Tuma. So if you have, and Rashi points out in one last piece, which is, and somewhere in the area, one of these trees has a mace somewhere. So you don't know. It could be that tree, that tree, that tree. So you have to mark off all of the possible places of Tuma as conveyed to those places by the tree canopies. Okay, well, that's called Sechafos and Peros is something similar. Sfafas are the ledges that come from the wall. If you have a mace, you would put a mace up against the wall somewhere. So if you have a long area where there are different places where there's a kind of a ledge on the top of a wall that would convey the tuma all along, but there are breaks, and you don't know where the mace is. So you have to mark off all of it as being a suffix tuma, which with a tuma sohel. Okay, those are Sfafas uperos. And then it says, Sfafas ilan ha-mesech ala-aretz, and peros is avonim ha-peruos ha-yotzos min ha-geder. And beis ha-pras. That's the third one of these sfeikos. Sfafas uperos and beis ha-pras. Okay, beis ha-pras, what's that? Kid isnan, it says in the Mishnah. What's a beis ha-pras? A beis ha-pras is a makom where there is Suffolk Tuma. Why is there Suffolk Tuma? We're going to discover there are three Beis HaPrases, which means there are three situations where I have an area that I'm going to have to identify as a Suffolk Tuma zone. Kedisna, like it says the following, Choresh Es HaKever. Well, imagine somebody is plowing the field, and then you discover, you start seeing bones being kind of being brought up to the surface, and you realize, ooh, somewhere along this whole area that I was plowing, I ran over a grave, and now I've just strewn bones around. So now I don't even know where the grave is now. So now somewhere in this area there's a grave, and that means that somewhere in this area there's going to be bones. It's going to make a tuma sohel. So achoresh es hakever harehu osa beis hapras the kamahu osa, and how big is the area going to be? Melo maana meya ama. That's the whole length of whatever you plowed. And it says here, 100 amos. I'm not sure exactly how to apply this rule. Maybe it's a standard, maybe it's typical, maybe that's just the limit as to how far you have to worry. Don't know. There's a girsa in Rashi over here. The word pras normally means half. So Rashi has a girsa that it means half of the 100 amos. I'm not sure. Okay, in any case, so now that's one example of the Chsadash and Nefresh Bekever. Gemara says, hold on a second. Beis HaPras mi mitami bi'ohel? Wait a second. So you understand that if you're plowing along and you dig up a grave, that means now you have Tuma lying around here and you don't know what to make of it. You don't know where it is. And it could be in multiple places because you just dragged the bones from a skeleton. So Beis HaPras mi mitami bi'ohel? But the Gemara says, hold on a second. But that doesn't create Tuma sohel. The Yoham Rav Yehuda, in other words, Beis HaPras, the point is, Beis HaPras is a Tuma Derabanan. They mandate that out of Suffolk, you have to treat this whole zone, the whole zone as Tame. But that zone that they created as a Tuma, they didn't create Tumas Ohel. They only required you to just call it Tame as being Tame based on the exposure of sources of Tuma. You'll see what I mean here in a second. It says here, but they didn't make a tumas ohel on a beis hapras. Like it says, v'ho'am Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda said that in the name of Shmuel, that minafeyach adam beis hapras v'holech. You're allowed to walk through a beis hapras as long as you're crawling through and you're examining carefully the ground in front of you. And if you see any bones or anything, you blow them away, and you're not in contact with them, and that doesn't transmit tumah to you. But the point being that you don't have to worry about anything under the ground. It's only surface things that you have to worry about in a base of press with a sedesh and efresh bekever, and nothing below the ground. If you had to worry about what's below the ground, then they wouldn't permit you to walk along a base of press and inspect the ground carefully. So you see that that's not, that shouldn't warrant a tzion, because we're only marking things that do have a tumah sohel. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami mishmei de ula amar, and likewise that a beis haprasha nidash tahor. If you have a beis haprasha and everybody's used it so much, then there's not going to be anything on the surface. So you can assume it becomes tahor, because it's nidash. Nidash is like lashon of dasha baramnet. A lot of people have gone that way, a lot, and trampled down the area enough that there's not going to be any exposed bones or anything. That'll all get kind of pounded back down. So you see all of that saying that there's no problem of ohel. Amar Rav Papa Lokasha. That's the other kind of beis hapras. Lokasha kam besada she'avad bekever, kam besada she'nefresh bekever. That we were just, unnecessarily imagining that the beis hapras that we were referring to was a sada where the plows up bones. But so that's true. So that type of beis hapras would not require tziyun. But there's another kind of beis hapras, which is that I know that somewhere in this sada is a grave. That's it. That's all you need to know. And once you know that, you don't know where it is, and you know it's here someplace. So then, the Chazal said, "Oh, so if you have a sada she'avad b'kever, a sada where there's a kever somewhere, but it's lost, its location is lost, then you have to mark the entire sada out as a beis hapras, and that's tumas ohel because it's an intact grave, and that has to be marked with paint. The sada she'nechresh b'kever beis hapras karila. Wait a second. So then we ask." But hold on a second. Why are we calling a sada she'nechresh b'kever a beis hapras? It shouldn't be called a beis hapras. Everyone says, we do. We find the Mishnayos for calling it that in Ahalos. That's an anshalosha beis hapras hein. A sada she'nevad b'kever, like we said. A sada she'nechresh b'kever, which was the first thing that we said. And a beis, and a sadeh buchen. A sada of tears. My sadeh buchen. What is that referring to? Rabbi Yehoshua bar Abba Mishmei Diula Amar Sada Shemaftirin Ba Mason. That's referring to like an area, a territory where bodies brought from outside are deposited there for the local Chevra Kadisha to deal with them and say and vice versa. And this is also kind of the launch area for where people who are going to be transporting the bodies elsewhere, that's where they would bring the bodies. And why is this area a beis hapras? Because the way Rashi interprets anyway is that because body parts that may fall off, you may leave them there. So you always have to worry in that place that there's a higher incidence of things that are tamei, possibly even to masohels, I guess. Anyway, back to our discussion. The sada she'nechresh b'kever loboy tzion. Hold on a second. But based on what we just said, the sada she'nechresh b'kever, if you just plowed up bones, then that doesn't require tziyun. But that's wrong. Be'atanya matza sada mitziyenes ve'enedua mativa. But there's a brisa and tosefta in Ahalas inside. It says that if you're, let's say you're going along an unfamiliar place and you see this paint on the ground ve'enedua mativa, and you don't know what that's supposed to represent. So then it says here, here's what you do: look for trees. Yesh ba'ilanos. If you see trees there. So then, b'yadua she'nechresh b'hakever. That clearly, that must refer to a sada she'nechresh b'hakever, where it's just bones. And that's why they choreshed for the purpose of the trees, Rashi says. Im ein ba'ilanos, but if there are no trees there, it's just an open field, like what normally you would be planting grain or vegetables or something. So then, b'yadua she'avad b'hakever. So then, if that's marked that way and there's no trees, then it must be that there's a grave somewhere in this territory, you just don't know where. So you see that either of these types of marked land, sadesh and echresh, and sadesh avad b'kever, gets marked. Just he's supposed to be able to identify which is which by the trees. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar, and Rabbi Yehuda, incidentally, thinks that the markings are not good enough. The trees are not a good enough determinant of what the marking represents. Ashe hei sham zaken o talmid. You need to have somebody who knows what he's doing there. Because not everybody really understands, and therefore you need to have expert guidance to be able to interpret the markings. But in any case, what do you see is that they marked the Sada Shenacharash just like the Sada She'avad. Amar Rav Papa says, well, hold on a second. Kitanya ha'ib is Sada She'avad ba'kever, ditziyanuha. Rav Papa says, no, that's not what was going on in that Braisa. It was definitely marked only for one reason. There was a Sada She'avad ba'kever. That's for sure. But listen to this. If they subsequently, let's say it's a Sada She'avad ba'kever, and now you're subsequently plowing and you discover you've plowed up bones, that means that you've actually plowed over that grave. So then you've fixed it in a certain sense. You've eliminated the hazard of the tumas ohel of the grave because you've just strewn the bones around. And so yesh ba'ilanos b'yadua shenefresh ba'kever. If they're ilanos, that means that now you can actually take advantage of the harisha sekever, and the marking plus the trees tells you the information that you don't have to worry about the kever that's lost. Anybody that knows we had to do a shavu about kever alone. All right, we're going to stop here.